This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Hello, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this week is a particularly poignant time to take a moment to imagine no religion.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. Welcome to the September 10th, 2011 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. This is radio for the rest of us. Radio for the non-believers, the atheists, the agnostics, the skeptics, the doubters in the United States of America. Free Thought Radio is broadcasting from Madison, Wisconsin, but also broadcasts in Atlanta, in Grand Rapids, in Monterey, in New York City, and of course, podcasts.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is the nation's largest national association of freethinkers. As Dan pointed out, that's atheists, agnostics, skeptics. We don't call what you call yourself. We all disbelieve in the same God, as we like to joke. And we publish a newspaper, Free Thought Today. We broadcast this radio program. And we also are a national state church watchdog. We have taken more than 50 important lawsuits to keep religion out of government. We have 3 staff attorneys working for free for you, the public, who have violations of the separation between church and state to try to end them without going to court. And we end many, many violations. We have some victories to report about today. We also have them up at our website.
There is something new under the sun. Our guest for the second half of today's show will be Phil Zuckerman, and he has just started the first ever secular studies program at a college university. You'll be able to major in secular studies, and Phil, whom we've had on the show before, is a professor of sociology at Pitzer College, which is connected with Claremont College in California. And he's written some books. He wrote books about societies without God. He spoke at our conference about goodness without God. And he's going to tell us just this week, just this semester, this brand new program has started about secular studies. We have a lot of news to talk about, but we also want to commemorate the birthdays of 2 famous free thinkers. First, H.L. Mencken was born on September the 12th, 1880. And he was, of course, the muckraking journalist from Baltimore who was famous for his wit. He was also a non-believer. And he wrote something called his creed. This isn't as funny as a lot of other things he said, but this is very powerful. He said, H.L. Mencken's creed was, "I believe that religion, generally speaking, has been a curse to mankind. That its modest and greatly overestimated services on the ethical side have been more than overcome by the damage it has done to clear and honest thinking. I believe that no discovery of fact, however trivial, can be wholly useless to the race, and that no trumpeting of falsehood, however virtuous in intent, can be anything but vicious. I believe that the evidence for immortality is no better than the evidence of witches and deserves no more respect. I believe in the complete freedom of thought and speech. I believe in the capacity of humanity to conquer this world and to find out what it is made of and how it is run. I believe in the reality of progress. But the whole thing, after all, may be put very simply. I believe that it is better to tell the truth than to lie. I believe that it is better to be free than to be a slave. And I believe that it is better to know than be ignorant."
That was H.L. Mencken's creed, and I would add, you know, I'm very fond of his sardonic wit and his definition of Sunday school. Mencken said, "Sunday school, a prison in which children do penance for the evil conscience of their parents. He also remarked, Christian endeavor is notoriously hard on female pulchritude. And speaking of females who were good feminists and freethinkers, this week also marks the anniversary birth date of Margaret Sanger. She was born September 14th, probably 1879. She was notoriously coy about her age. Her creed, of course, was no gods, no masters, and that can be found now on a bumper sticker that FFR produces, and it's the subtitle of the anthology I put together, Women Without Superstition, No Gods, No Masters, and of course, we have Margaret Sanger very largely to thank for the fact that women have access, have actual birth control to use at all, and she felt all women should be rebellious Vashtis and not Esthers, obedient Esthers, talking about two different characters in the Bible.
It's interesting, I think, that even these modern evangelical Christians who try to demonize Margaret Sanger, they're all practicing birth control. So what do you say about that? Now, for a little more humor, or backhanded humor, let's say, we want to play this clip for you atheists. Did you know that you don't even exist? Did you know it's atheists who are non-existent rather than a god? The American Family Association, the AFA, the American Family Association, has a TV program. It's called Nothing But Truth, which is hosted by Crane Durham. And Crane Durham had a pastor on as a guest on his show recently. The pastor's name, Aaron Fruh, F-R-U-H. He's an author, and he's the pastor of the Knollwood Assembly of God in Mobile, Alabama. Listen to what he said.
Is it actually possible to be an atheist?
With all due respect to any late atheist listening, anyone who calls themselves an atheist is intellectually dishonest. It's because of what Paul says in Romans 1:18, what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, so that they are without excuse. So every person on the planet has an understanding in their spirit and their soul that there is a God in heaven. And so Paul says, because of that, general revelation, which is not enough to save a person, but it's enough to condemn a person, Paul says everyone knows that there is a God. So I don't believe anyone can actually be an atheist. I think it's impossible.
Okay, my eyes were sure glazing over pretty fast there.
Well, so it's intellectually dishonest not to believe every word written by this Bronze Age missionary named Paul. He bases all of his truth on the writings of these primitive thinkers, and they believe in a book that has talking snakes and food falling from the sky and people walking on water, and we are the ones who are intellectually dishonest.
Well, yeah, somebody who would take revealed truth as truth, all nothing but the truth. Well, my goodness, who's the intellectual lightweight here? So we have lots of news on the FFRF legal front, and last week we played a lot about this furor that FFRF has created in DeSoto County, Mississippi. That's Hernando, the city of Hernando, where they were illegally having football prayers, commencement prayers, and then we got complaints. We stopped that and got complaints about the Gideons. So we have a news clip about what's going on there.
Tonight, a controversy over Bibles is growing in schools. Good evening. I'm Joe Birch.
I'm Ursula Madden. One group is upset that Bibles are allowed in DeSoto County schools. Now, DeSoto County school officials are opening up about the issue. Action News 5's Jamel Majors live tonight with the latest in this growing controversy. Jamel.
After an atheist group called the Freedom From Religion Foundation asked DeSoto County schools to stop praying before school events or face legal action, that same organization has sent another letter of complaint demanding the district to stop allowing Gideon International, a Christian missionary group, to distribute Bibles during school-sponsored activities.
We want to protect small children from religious predators, whether they are predators over a loudspeaker at a football game, or whether they are coming into the schools illegally to push their Christian Bibles on small children.
Freedom From Religion says distributing Bibles on campus during instructional time directly violates a Supreme Court ruling.
I'm for the Gideons. I believe all kind of people go on campus handing out different things. If you want it, you take it. If you don't, you don't.
Any way we can get the Bible to people, we should, but I think they need to respect also the separation of church and state.
I asked DeSoto County residents if they would object to other religious groups who may want to offer Bibles.
I mean, a Muslim can offer me anything he wants, but don't mean I have to take it. Jehovah's Witness come by my house all the time, and I just tell them no thank you. So, I mean, that's what this country's all about, religious freedom.
I would probably be uncomfortable just with all the problems that we've had with the Muslims. But I think as a country, you know, they have that right just as well as any other organization.
And I did ask DeSoto County School Superintendent Milton Kirkendall for comment. He says, quote, "We're investigating the matter and DeSoto County School District will make a decision and issue a statement once our attorney has completed the investigation."
You know, the dishonesty of somebody saying, oh, it'd be okay if her small child was approached by imams and given the Quran without her permission, knowledge, consent.
The kids could just say
this
no.
This is kids in a classroom, in the hallway, being given Bibles with the knowledge of their principal and teachers. I mean, this is 10-year-olds.
And these are big guys with suits
right.
on, these Gideon guys.
So it is illegal. And now we do have, I hope, time to talk about another appalling case that we took last week in Lindale, Texas. We could not believe it when the complaint came in. A teacher telling children that they needed to bring Bible as part of their text for algebra class. This is a 7th grade class in a public school in Lindale, Texas. And she also had on her school supply list that she sent home with students that you need to come in with the Spirit of the Lord. So you can imagine, we went right to work. Stephanie Schmidt sent a letter of complaint out. And I guess this is the CBS 19 News report about what happened.
An East Texas school district is in the national spotlight after upsetting some advocates for the separation of church and state.
At the center of the controversy, a school supply list. CBS 19's Field Sutton joins us now from Lindale Junior High School tonight.
Jillian, some of the 8th grade algebra students got this on the first day of school, and it looks like the district's normal school supply list because it talks about things like notebooks and graphing paper, but it also asks kids to bring Bibles when they come to class.
The request to bring Bibles to an 8th grade algebra class isn't the only thing raising eyebrows. Amy Pretty's supply list also asks students to listen to the Spirit of the Lord.
We take it very seriously. We're very aware of the laws. This was a simple mistake.
Lindale ISD Superintendent Stan Surratt says Pretty never meant for those requests to make it to students.
She knows that, you know, that's not allowed at our school, and it was just a harmless error.
A statement directly from Pretty says she used to teach in a private school and, quote, used a previous supply list and inadvertently failed to cut the religious requirements from the current supply list. We showed the list around Lindale and people are split.
I would probably be having a conference with the teacher. I don't think that those are things that need to be discussed in our classrooms.
Kids, you know, they need to learn about God and Jesus. I mean, there's nothing bad that's going to come about it, so why not teach it?
I've been connected with FFRF for more than 30 years. And, you know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and the Bible is wrong because this is a new violation for us.
An unknown Lindale parent was so upset when that list came home from school on the first day, they called up the Freedom from Religion Foundation. They say having those Christian references on a supply list was a gross violation of the First Amendment and filed an official complaint with Lindale ISD.
Schools are for reading, writing, arithmetic, not religion, and whoever heard of the Bible as a text for an algebra class?
The district says that's an overreaction. They tell us students got a new non-religious supply list Wednesday, adding that none of them ever actually showed up with a Bible.
After they talked about all this with Mrs. Pretty, they searched her classroom for anything that might promote a certain religious point of view. He says nothing turned up. Reporting from Lindale Junior High School in Lindale's Field Sutton, CBS 19 News.
So, Annie Laura, do you think that was an innocent mistake by the teacher?
pretty inept mistake if it were innocent. No, I do not think so.
If this was an algebra class, that teacher needs to learn how to calculate the distance between church and state.
I'm Annie Laura Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. And stay tuned. We're going to hear from Phil Zuckerman, who just started the first ever secular studies department at his university.
No gods, no masters, no popes, no pastors, think for yourself. No more dictators, resist those woman haters and decide for yourself. No gods, no masters, no popes, no pastors, think for yourself.
Hi, my name is Jerry Hedrick from Eagan, Minnesota, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker, and coming up later, we'll talk with Phil Zuckerman, the sociologist and author who has started a secular studies major at a university.
And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and Dan and I this week sent a letter to a public official, and for once, it was not a complaint, it was a thank you. And we addressed a letter to Michael Bloomberg, mayor of New York City, on behalf of our 17,000 plus free-thinking members around the country to commend him for his wise decision, as we are recording this, we understand this is what's holding, to uphold the precious constitutional principle of the separation between religion and government by keeping religion out of the city's commemoration of the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And we wrote him that we knew he was getting a lot of flack and pressure to incorporate religion into the city event. The Wall Street Journal reported it with a great deal of oomph, and the Southern Baptists went after him, all the religious right lobbies went after him. And so we pointed out that the intemperate tone of the religious right in this matter does show the wisdom of having government remain above the religious fray, that that many of these religious right lobbies clearly viewed this high-profile city event convened by the city with tax dollars as a chance to place their religious stamp on an event that should be inclusive, not exclusive, and should be not be used for their personal proselytizing agenda.
And in the letter, we quoted the Weiss versus District Board of Education Supreme Court decision in Wisconsin, which says there is no such source of cause of strife, quarrel, fights, malignant opposition, persecution, and war, and all evil in the state is religion. Let it once enter our civil affairs, our government would soon be destroyed.
And the zealot-based terrorism of the event that this city commemoration is about proves the truth of that caveat. The nearly 3,000 victims of 9/11 at the World Trade Center, there were many of the international community, persons of diverse beliefs and non-beliefs, or whose views were taken to the grave with them, we'll never know. And their surviving friends, spouses, colleagues, co-workers also represent the full gamut of belief and non-belief. There should be no assumption that in a world that is 20 to 25% non-theistic in the United States, which is over 15%, that everybody shares the same beliefs at all.
So our letter thanked Mayor Bloomberg for keeping the events secular. So that was something to rejoice about, that the First Amendment is being honored.
And you can read the rest of that letter at our Action Alert under the news link. And we hope that you will also thank Mayor Bloomberg for standing for the rights of all Americans, for all 9/11 victims of whatever or no religion, and for the First Amendment. And who's coming up, Dan?
Coming up later in the second half of the show is Phil Zuckerman. He's a professor of sociology and author. He spoke at our conference about societies without God. He has started the first ever secular studies department at Pitzer College in California, which will be fascinating to talk about.
This is Richard Dawkins, author of The God Delusion. You're listening to Free Thought Radio.
Hello.
Hello, this is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, and we're back. And we're really happy to have with us on the phone from California, back on Free Thought Radio again. He's been on once or twice, I think, and he's spoken at our conference in Seattle, Phil Zuckerman. Phil is professor of sociology at Pitzer College, which is part of California's Claremont College. He's been there since 1998 and last year became a full professor. He's written a number of books, one called Atheism and Secularity. Another one, my favorite, is called Society Without God. And he also wrote a textbook, Invitation to the Sociology of Religion, Strife in the Sanctuary, and a new book. Phil, we don't have your new book, Faith No More, How and Why People Reject Religion. We need to get a hold of that. So welcome back to Free Thought Radio.
Thank you so much. The new book comes out in November, so as soon as I get a copy, I'll definitely send one to you.
Oh, so that's why we don't have it, huh?
Yeah.
That would explain that.
Well, then we can... Faith No More, How and Why People Reject Religion. We can have you back and talk about that book at that time. But today we want to talk about this exciting new, well, I called it a department, but maybe you can explain to us. There's a major now or a section at Pitzer College on secular studies. What is that and how did it come about?
Yeah, we're really excited. It's the first such program in the country, actually in the world, if I can be so hyperbolic. It's a new program, a new department. Department's fine in secular studies. The only reason we don't use at Pitzer, we call them field groups. It's just a special quirk of Pitzer College, but everywhere else in the world, it would be called a department. And of course, there's different levels. It's the department, the program we've got now in secular studies is probationary. So we've got about 4 years to see how it goes, and at the end of 4 years, the faculty will vote to either keep it or not. And students can, in fact, apply for a special major in secular studies. So it's basically a coherent set of classes. Students have to take 9 classes plus a senior thesis or senior project. And if they do this, along with the rest of the requirements for their general education, they can have a special major in secular studies. And we're just really, really excited. It just got started. This is the second week of the first semester. It was approved last spring by the various requisite committees, and now we're underway.
Well, it's about time, you know, all these religious studies. Let's have some secular studies.
I agree, Annie Laurie. I mean, that's part of the reason we decided to do this. You know, every institution of higher learning always has a Department of Religious Studies. In addition, sometimes a theology department, I mean, church history departments. I mean, we have been studying every nook and cranny of religious life, from religious philosophy to religious history to religious dance, you name it, has been studied. And that's good, and I'm glad we do that. But there's a huge chunk of humanity that is not religious.
Yes.
We need to study the history of secularity and skepticism. We need to study the sociology of secularity. Who is secular? Why are they secular? The psychological underpinnings of atheism and secularity. It's truly interdisciplinary. And I just felt like, and myself and several of my colleagues realized that this actually was a genuinely wide open area of inquiry that, and the students were excited and interested too. So we really are trying, we're not trying to be against religious studies, we're just simply trying to broaden our understanding of humanity and broaden the academic purview to include secularity, irreligion, skepticism, humanism, all those things as something that students can study in the same with the same rigor they might study religion.
So it's kind of like this blind spot that society has. I mean, if you 10 or 15 years ago, you go into a bookstore and there's the religious section and there was never an atheism section, which is often not true anymore because of these atheist blockbusters. But so we're now seeing some of this trickle into academia.
I think you're absolutely right about that, Annie Laurie. It's sort of just been like, you know, even though there's hundreds of millions of non-religious people in the world, even though there's cultures that are extremely irreligious, it has really not been part of our intellectual consciousness or even popular consciousness. And I think a lot of things have changed that. Obviously, the bestsellers were huge in getting people interested, getting people talking. The kind of community activism and political activism that FFRF does has been really instrumental. And all these things have kind of converged. And so the academics, we started realizing, hey, no one's studying this stuff, you know, and we were always sort of forced to study atheism and irreligion within the realm of religion, you know, because that was all that existed. If we wanted to publish our findings, we had to publish them in religious journals. If we wanted to study religion, we had to take, or the lack of religion, we still had to take religious studies classes. And so we just realized, wait a minute, there's a lot going on here. So you're right, even in the change at the popular level with the bookstores, but we're also seeing a change in the academic level. And now there are many, dozens and dozens of scholars around the world in all the social sciences, in history, in literature. We're all starting to take secularity more seriously as something to be studied, and the students are responding. I mean, that's what's most exciting. You know, when this program was approved, you know, I thought, well, we'll see how it goes. I was glad that it was probationary. You know, we got 4 years. We'll see if students enroll in our classes. We'll see if students want to do the special major. And then I got a call from the Office of Admissions saying that the applications are pouring in, that they're getting inquiries from all over the country from students or parents of students who read about this, and they're very excited. So we've already got a few students already knocking on the doors saying, hey, we'd like to do this, but, you know, we expect now is the time for students to apply for the following year, and I'm really hoping for some great students who want to come and study various aspects of atheism and secularism.
Well, I was just thinking it was kind of like Simone de Beauvoir, women were the other. That's kind of like
exactly.
Non-theist. We've always been there, but we're just not acknowledged.
So what is there to study? I mean, if there's people sitting around saying there's no God, or what are some of these 9 courses that you're offering right now?
Great question. You know, I struggle with that too sometimes. I mean, are we studying just the absence of something, or is secularity in and of itself a positive, naturalistic worldview that it is actually asserting something? And it always depends on one's perspective and how one spins it. But basically, what we're looking at is we've got different areas. So we're offering some sociology. So we're offering, like, sociology of secularity. This is, you know, who tends to be non-religious, how does irreligion arise in people's lives? What do we know about non-religious people politically? What do we know about them demographically? So that's kind of like the same thing we would do with sociology of religion we're doing for secular life. We're also going to offer philosophy courses that, you know, how do you articulate ethics and morals without a God? Naturalistic philosophies, reason, you know. Now, those kind of things have always existed in philosophy classes, but all we're doing is trying to put them in a coherent course of study. We're also going to offer some history classes. How did the Enlightenment, you know, what were some of the key thinkers that paved the way towards a more enlightened worldview? What were some of the, from Spinoza to Hume to Leibniz, you know, what were some of the key intellectual developments in creating secular orientations? And even Holyoke, who came up with the term secularism, you know, so there's sort of the history of it, there's the sociology of it, there's also the psychology of it. We would love to, you know, we hope to offer courses, a lot of this is all in the works, but, you know, on the sort of neurological bases of disbelief, skepticism, naturalism, rationalism. So students at this point, They could take a couple sociology classes, a couple philosophy classes. We're also actually encouraging them to take two or three religious studies classes within the religious studies department for purposes of comparison and education. So of the nine classes, they would take two or three that look at secularity sociologically, two or three at the philosophy underpinning secular life, two or three in religious studies, two or three in history, and there's also some great science classes. We've got classes on evolution, debates between science and religion, God from a science, you know, debates between, you know, what science has to say about God debates. So there's really a lot to pick from, and students actually have to sort of craft their own. So they're not, you know, it's not a set of nine specific classes that they all have to take, but rather they get to choose and pick and choose from a wide variety of options.
I think that it's so important that when you talk about the history of secularism, it seems like that should be required for all students, you know, because
yeah.
there's such a lack of understanding of the Enlightenment, the secular underpinnings of our country. So it seems like
so
a very,
true.
Very worthy so thing to do that.
Well, then all the non-believers who improved the world, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and we talked earlier on today's show about Margaret Sanger. And
I just read her autobiography. Exactly. I mean, there's a huge, I would love to see, you know, right now the only one we've got established is the sort of like development of the Enlightenment thinkers, but I would love to see courses on, you know, secular activists in American history, the secular underpinnings of America, and even farther back and in other societies. And I forgot to even mention poli-sci, political science. We've got some courses on that, you know, we'll be looking at the role of secularism in certain political debates around the country, political conflicts. So it's wide open.
Now, you mentioned Holyoke. That was Jacob Holyoke?
Yes.
That he coined the term secular or secularism? Or
I believe he coined the term secularism. I'd have to look that up. You know, one of my colleagues is the historian.
Was he?
I'm the sociologist. We've got a physicist and a historian and another sociologist, so I usually defer to him on those questions.
It seemed like, was he associated with the National Secular Society, or was that just in the UK, or did they maybe just name themselves after
I'm
he
not
promoted
sure.
the word?
I'm
we'll have
not
to look
sure.
that up.
It says, I'm just doing a quick Google search, Holyoke's motive behind coining the term of secularism in 1854. So I think he is the one that coined the term.
Well,
I mean,
good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot out there. You know, there's wonderful. I love Jennifer Michael Hecht's book, mm-hmm. Doubt.
We're using
that. We've got an intro course. I forgot to mention that's simply called The Secular Life, and it's two or three weeks of history, two or three weeks of philosophy, two or three weeks of sociology. It's sort of we're also looking at literature, film. So it's sort of a general introduction. It's meant to be sort of the intro to secular studies course.
Well, we have a section on free thought in the flicks at our website.
Oh, nice!
So I'll have to send that to you. And we're just compiling fictional free thought characters or themes. Which is a little incomplete.
This is, what a great resource for us.
I know. Make your students listen to all 280 podcasts of Free Thought Radio.
You know, that would be a great idea for one of the senior projects. I mean, they get to do some independent research, and it would be wonderful to do some type of analysis of the podcast.
Uh-oh.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, maybe not so flattering. I'm Annie Laurie Geller, and I'm with...
I'm Dan Barker, and this is Free Thought Radio.
And we're talking with... Now, are we... pronouncing your name correctly, Phil. Is it Zuckerman?
You got it.
Zuckerman.
Rhymes with duck.
Zuckerman.
Zuckerman. Okay. I won't say what else it rhymes with.
Okay. So you're professor of sociology, don't do that on the air, at Pitzer College, and we are talking about the new secular studies
department.
They're first in the nation, and we'll be back to talk more about why it's important to study secularism, what people need to learn about it.
Hi, my name is Herb from Charleston, South Carolina, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible... It ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller, and our guest today is Professor Phil Zuckerman. He teaches sociology at Pitzer College, which is part of California's Claremont College. He's the author of Society Without God, which is looking at Scandinavian culture, also Atheism and Secularity came out last year. And coming up in November, Faith No More, How and Why People Reject Religion. And we are talking with him about a very exciting development at Claremont College. Pitzer will be offering a secular studies department. He is teaching some of those classes.
It's offered right now.
Offering right now. And also, Phil, we didn't talk about the new journal that is coming out.
Yeah, one of the other developments, I mean, things are kind of exploding all over academia. So the other one is several of us realized there was no academic journal that could serve as a hub and a home for people doing research on secular life, secular thought. So spearheaded by Professor Ryan Cragen out at Florida, he's the editor-in-chief. It's called the Journal of Non-Religion and Secularism, and it's also just now up and running. It's an online journal, and we're accepting submissions, and it's hopefully going to take off, and we'll see the kind of, hopefully it'll generate a lot of research and publicize that research.
I see that Barry Cosman's involved with that as well. So didn't Trinity College have something like a secular offering?
Yeah, Barry Cosman has been involved in all of this. In fact, he was instrumental in helping us create a secular studies program here at Pitzer. Barry's really the pioneer him and Ariela Kazar have that Institute for the Study of Secularism and Society and Culture at Trinity College. The difference there is, though, it's really just a research institute. So they don't offer classes per se. They don't offer degrees. So they're just they're a research institute affiliated with a college. They might teach a class here and there. But what we've done is created an actual course of study that students can take to get a degree in secular studies.
And Phil, you were telling us during the break, what are the classes that you're currently teaching on secularity? As I think that's a word you've coined.
Yeah, in a sense, I guess, when we speak of secularity, sometimes secularism has an ideological bent to it or a political bent. And for me, secularity just refers to the absence of religion. So, the state of being not religious. So right now, I am personally teaching a class called Skepticism and Secularism, which looks at, what are some of the major critiques of religion, what are some of the major attempts to debunk religion, and why do people make those attempts, what are the weakest arguments, what are the best arguments. I'm also next fall will be teaching a class called The Sociology of Secularity, and then a new class called The Secular Life, which is sort of a basic introduction to secular studies. That's what I'll personally be doing, but we've already got courses up and running in history, a new one in poli-sci, looking at actually atheism in the Latino community. We've got courses right now that students can take in philosophy, from existentialism to debates over God, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, your book that came out in 2008, Society Without God, is all about interviewing people in Scandinavian countries that are almost essentially godless. So do you want to just briefly tell listeners who might not have read that book about that?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I was looking at the statistics, and it seemed that Denmark and Sweden were among the least believing or the least religious societies on Earth. And I went over there for over a year, lived there with my family, and did interviews trying to understand the worldview of these secular people and also show that these societies are extremely successful and humane, contrary to the assertions of a lot of conservative Christians that, we need God or else society will disintegrate. But to me, beyond that, what I was trying to do was actually something within secular studies. But, there was no name for it then. So it was sort of like, well, I'm studying non-religious culture, non-religious people, but what do we call that? And so I like to think of Society Without God as, one of the first self-conscious forays into secular studies.
I was in Copenhagen last year, and I was interviewed by, is it called the Christian Dagblad or something, the newspaper?
The Christian Daily Newspaper.
Yeah, and the woman was a Christian, but she says, hey, that doesn't mean much here in this country. They were just very, and the article they wrote was just very positive towards secularism and atheism, really. So
now, didn't you just come back from Denmark? Weren't you there this summer?
Yeah, actually, I was there for most of this last year. For Society Without God, I was there in 2005, 2006, and then we were back again for 2010, 2011. So I just spent my second year there with my family, and we had a wonderful time.
And was this part of your studies?
I didn't write a book this time, but I am doing some. I did some research on what they call non-formators. Most Danish youth at the age of 13 or 14 go through a Lutheran confirmation ritual, confirmation ceremony. It's very traditional, but more and more of the younger kids there don't want to do it because they just don't believe the words that they're expected to utter. But they still want to have a coming-of-age ceremony because it's such an embedded tradition. So instead of having confirmations, they're starting to have non-formations where they invite family, they have a party, and maybe they give a speech, but it's without all the God. And
that's
so
cute.
I wanted to know who these kids were, and so I did some research on them.
Now, and we have just about 1 minute left. Briefly, give us a survey of non-belief worldwide. Where are we statistically?
Depends which country, but if you total up all non-believers in the world, we're about fourth place. After Christianity, Islam, and Hinduism, you know, atheism, agnosticism, irreligion is right up there. We're a major chunk of humanity. We're probably 800 million strong. So this is not some fringe thread of human life, but a very big chunk of humanity is non-believing. And we need to study that chunk and understand them.
And also, isn't that make people in this country who feel so beleaguered and outnumbered often, you know, we get all these calls, I'm the only atheist in Wyoming, or I can't let anybody in my North Carolina town know my views. Maybe take a little bit of courage from this. You are not alone.
If you're down in Mississippi or Texas, it may feel like you're alone, but you're absolutely not. Not only are big chunks of America, a lot of people in New England, on the West Coast, Midwest, there's big chunks of non-religious life there, but worldwide there are many societies where most people are non-religious.
And
so,
speaking of New England, we're having our 34th annual convention the weekend of October 7th through 9th, and there's still room for people.
In Hartford, Connecticut.
In Hartford, Connecticut, in the Northeast. So we are hoping people will sign up at FFRF.org. And Phil, thank you so much for being on the show and also for creating this very important department. This is a fantastic development.
Thank you so much. My pleasure, Annie Laurie.
Maybe someday the Freedom from Religion Foundation will hire somebody or interview somebody that has a major in secular studies.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be great.
Thank you, Phil. We'll talk to you again when your new book comes out.
Thanks so much, Dan.
All right. And Brian, thank you, too, for all your hard work producing. Brian Tarani is our engineer and producer. The show is produced here in Madison, Wisconsin. You can hear all 280 shows on our website, ffrf.org/radio, and sign up for the podcast.
Yes, and sign up for the convention at ffrf.org/its outreach. And you can also, the hotel has been, you can contact the hotel through at least the 15th to get the convention rate, we hope, for a little bit longer. So there's time to sign up. Phone 1-800-335-4021 or go to ffrf.org and tune in next week for more blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one.
Anyone can actually be an atheist.